Hello and welcome back to Down the Slope. Unfortunately, we were hoping it would be on and talking about our trip that we'd be booking to Hampden, but it was not to be as we fell down 2-0 to Rangers at home. But we are joined by the wonderful Chris and Craig, as well as Ewan returning as always. Ewan, how are we getting on?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. I know the rule's supposed to be when Hibs are good, we are good and that, but Hibs were good yesterday, so just about clinging on to the good feeling.
Hey, Chris, good vibes for yourself?
I wouldn't say good vibes, but I'm doing all right, all things considered, eh?
Nice. And Craig, back on for a second time. How are we feeling?
Not bad, mate. Fresh off a workout, so I'm feeling good.
Craig's massive on the CrossFit, by the way. So if you're either a CrossFitter or an anti-CrossFitter, you can get your shots in at Craig as you see fit.
Absolutely.
Is that, Craig, is that like, sorry that people don't care about this, Harry, but is that like when you go into like handstands and walk about and that, like walk on your hands and all that?
Well, that's the end goal, but I'm not quite there yet.
Right, okay.
He's on his way, boys. He's on his way. But speaking of things that you can get slagged for, I'm going to completely rogue. Conor Tracy, lovely guy, been on the pod a couple of times, sent us in the biggest talking point I've had coming out of that game is my hairline. Other than that, Fish and Rocky are good. All right, screw Fish and Rocky. He's been getting roasted for his hairline. Guys, what's the biggest roast you've had or like the thing that's cut deepest that's been said to you in relation to a football insult? Ewan, we'll come to you first.
So I took it. I certainly took it as a compliment, right? But I can't remember what it was. I tweeted a video, I think, and a Rangers fan that didn't follow me, and it's just replied to me. Oh, we were singing Angels in it, and he replied, just called me a fat Robbie Williams, and I took a lot of credit. I was quite happy with that, to be honest. But I was actually just looking at the camera there. And see, because this like area of my beard seems a lot heavier than the rest. Do you know, I think I'm looking a little bit like Alf, Alf's Toy Barn and Toy Story now. Like, I really need to shave this, don't
hell.
I? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
doing yourself a bit of a disservice there.
Yeah. At least it's a promotion from the chocolate factory. Anyway, Chris, what about yourself? Biggest insult you've had?
Oh, how long you got? Well, I certainly, I mean, it's usually like my hair. Folk always going about my hair. They do that in real life as well, to be fair. But nothing really has like cut deep. Nobody that ever roasts me on Twitter is actually funny or intelligent. So nothing's ever stuck with me anyway. But they always say that like my music's shite and my hair's shite, but whatever.
Hey, that's a good way to plug Chris's music. If you follow him on Twitter, you'll see.
Make up your own mind.
Hey, Craig, said before the pod that you had to tell the story.
So me, Harry, and my brother Mike went to Dumbarton away. I can't remember what year it was. It was obviously Championship.
I think it was first year Championship.
Was it? Away to the Rock, class trip, by the way. Absolutely love it. And we went for a KFC, as is a staple on away days quite often. And I was standing outside with the bucket of chicken, waiting on Harry and Mike coming out, and then an old lady, bless her, she walked past, and she's obviously felt a bit sorry for me and got her purse out as she's going into KFC and goes to me, oh, what are you collecting for? And then went to put money in my bucket of chicken. So it's not a football roast, but I basically got called a charity worker before a Hibs game. So no, that was a good laugh. Harry was crying.
At least she added in like, what are you collecting for, and never just like flick 20p in and think you were standing there like a homeless guy, to be
fair. I would have ruined the chicken. Her heart was in the right place, but it was very, very funny.
me and Mikey caught the end of it as we were walking out. It was fantastic. But my biggest one, we played Livingston at home and Heckingbottom was manager and we conceded in the last minute and lost. And I tweeted, I said, what about Hexit at Tiffany's? Because it was a player called Tiffany that scored. I thought that was genius. And some random account, like just some random like blank account tweeted at me, idiot, I will bounce your specs so hard off your face they bounce down Easter Road. And I was just like, that is so extreme for a pun. So that one always sits with me. It definitely was deserved, but goodness. All right, that's enough of our terror. Let's talk about the terror that was Steve McLean. Let's just kind of rip the band-aid off and get straight into it. Ewan, three major, obviously there's a lot of talking points throughout the game, but the three major ones were of course the penalty that was awarded, Abita's second yellow for the red, and Mariah Welsh's straight red. So talk to me about the penalty, and from an objective standpoint, if you can reach that, otherwise just tell me about how shit it was.
The penalty, I don't think is a penalty, right? I don't think there's enough contact. I think it's clever from Sterling. He pretty much just stops, you know, to sort of ensure that what little contact there is exaggerated. And I think, like, would Hibs want it? We probably would, but that's where half my issue with it comes. Martin Boyle gets taken out against Celtic, which is soft, and he ends up with a yellow card. You know, they're different incidents, they're not identical, but I don't think it's a penalty, but to be fair, across the three decisions that you're talking about, I think it is probably the most 50-50 one. And it's probably the one that Hibs should feel least aggrieved, less, you know what I'm trying to say. Aye, that's my thoughts.
and Chris, Craig, I'll open this to both of you, whoever wants to answer. Like, for me personally, I think that the Boyle one against Celtic that he got booked for, not a penalty. I think that the Vargas, I don't think it was a dive, but I don't think it was a penalty. I think the Vargas one that was awarded for Hearts, not a penalty. The one Celtic got that against Hearts last week, not a penalty. I think this one, again, not a penalty. Same as the Marcondes challenge later in the game. But if you give all of them as penalties, you then need to give the Marcondes one and the Boyle one as penalties. And for me, the main frustration I've got with that is just the overlying inconsistency when it comes to these types of decisions. Is that where you guys' frustration comes in?
Yeah, I've been on here and I've said before, and this is still what I think, that the way football is now, we give too many penalties. There's too many penalties. They were never meant to be introduced and awarded this frequently. Like I've said, they're an unopposed shot from 12 yards. They should be used in pretty extreme circumstances. And if you're running, fair enough, you get the wrong side of somebody and you're in on goal, if there's a wee bit of a coming together, that shouldn't be a penalty, like across the board for anyone. Mm-hmm. And that includes if it's Martin Boyle against Celtic, that includes every, just, they just shouldn't be penalties. Do you know, we were talking about this. I mean, and it's not, I know it's not necessarily VAR, because VAR's kind of done its job on a few occasions there, but before VAR, penalties used to be awarded for, like, they were actually just stonewallers because there had to be like a foul in the box, or there had to be, you know, there had to be like more than just contact. There had to be an actual foul. But these days it's like they're just so marginal and the punishment is so severe. It just doesn't make sense. And I think football going forward really needs to try and draw back how many penalties are awarded in games, because it's ridiculous.
And Craig, I think you're probably on the same boat. So let's move on to the second batch decisions, in which McLean, I think, had probably just about lost the game by that point, but then he decided, you know what, let's just throw the whole thing on its head. Mm-hmm. We went from having 11 men on the park to within 3 minutes having 9 men on the park. So talk to me about the Abita one. It's just absurd that he's booked them for that, isn't it?
Ridiculous, to be honest. I was actually, when I was at the game, I was watching it. That's what I was watching. I wasn't even watching the ball. And I caught the whole thing in at full speed. And for me, the boy, I think it's Matondo that's went down. I think that's another massive problem in football. Like, he's got a bit of sent off. He's got him the yellow card. Because, yes, he puts his arm across him, but that happens 50 times a game, where he's put the feelers out just to get a judge of where the player is, maybe kind of try and block him off because he knows he's got pace. And it slides up into his face. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're going down like you've been in a 12-round boxing match and you've been hit by a knockout blow in the last round like that, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And if that had happened to Rangers, the seeds would be outstanding. Quite rightly, because it's an incorrect decision. But you're say that they're like, oh, McLean had lost the game by that point. He'd lost me. I was absolutely fuming about it. But I mean, no, it's just it's not enough to get yourself sent off. The first yellow card, obviously, Stonewall nailed on yellow card. The second one's a joke.
Yeah, I think just to come in on what Craig said, Rangers, and obviously maybe you give them the credit and say they're a streetwise football team because they were at that all night. From both kickoffs in the first half, had Dessers just ran into Rocky and lay on the ground for 30 seconds after it, trying his best to obviously like
just try to get him sent off.
Or get him sent off. You know, like they were at it all night. Tavernier had one in the first half, maybe just after the goal where Mariah Welsh is behind him. He's trying to like jockey the ball out of play. It ends up staying out, but Tavernier just sort of throws his hands up, and Mariah Welsh is getting away down the line, and a foul gets given. So you know, maybe you do just have to give them that credit and say they're streetwise. But it was pathetic, and Stephen McLean's a coward. He wasn't going to send him off until Connor Goldson ran 30 yards up the pitch and screaming in his face. An absolute pathetic refereeing performance, start to finish. Even if you wanted to be generous to them and say that the three main incidents, say they were 50-50, well, Hibs have come out on the wrong side of them, but from start to finish it was an abysmal refereeing performance. Tom Lawrence tried to stop two counters that Hibs had and failed on both occasions with kicks and tugs, never once went back to book him. He committed four fouls in the game of all of similar nature, didn't book him for any of them, and then Kemar Roofe came off the bench and with his first kick got booked. Now, if it was a booking, his first kick was into Rocky's shin as opposed to the ball. But you know, he books him for his first foul when the player he came on for, I think it was Lawrence, came on for, had given away four or five, and yeah, it was genuinely horrific. And I think you said to Craig there, Harry, that had he lost the game by that point, he lost the game early, so early, because he let Rain. I know, my issue on the back of yesterday isn't with Rangers, it is purely with the referee. He let them referee that game from start to finish. It was absolutely pathetic. He booked Marcondes after the penalty for obviously disagreeing with his decision. So why did Connor Goldson not get booked for sprinting 30, 40 yards to scream in his face? It's honestly, it's ridiculous. It was horrendous. And someone has to watch that game and like at the SFA and take the incidents out of it and just watch the 90 minutes and judge that he should not be refereeing, you know, like important games this weekend or whatever. Like a performance review should be done to say he lost total control of that game within 20 minutes. It was pathetic.
It's true. And it's an absolute textbook losing control of the game. Like you said, to allow that many fouls by Rangers players to go without a booking. And then all that does is build the atmosphere up in the stadium because the fans didn't think you're doing your job right. And then you get to the point where you feel like you've got to act because it's getting too fraught on the pitch. So Roofe comes on, kicks Rocky. I mean, yeah, it could be a booking. It's also his first foul. So if he had been doing his job before then, you would probably just let Roofe away with that one because he's just on the park. But because he's then booked Roofe, that's got the Rangers players' backs up because he's been booked for his first tackle. So now the next Hibs tackle needs a booking. And that is just textbook losing control of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, and I actually thought he was going to send Obita off when Obita, ushered the physio and the Rangers player off the pitch. If he was doing his job, McCausland would have been off the pitch about 20 seconds earlier. Again, he's just allowing that to happen because what happens? Obita's pushing him. The Rangers bench are going mental. Connor Goldson sprinting up again. And he ends up telling Joe Newell to tell Obita to calm down. Now, maybe Montgomery should take Obita off at that point, but you think he's an experienced player. And to be fair, he'd actually sort of settled into the game, I think. Obita had probably had his worst game, actually, this season, potentially last night, which is different, obviously. But it's just pathetic. It's utterly pathetic refereeing from start to finish. Like it's genuine. Awful, just so bad, and it's no VAR. It was all him. He couldn't wait to get the straight red card.
He
almost dropped it.
He missed a blatant, well, not a blatant, but he missed the exact same carbon copy foul on Martin Boyle. Not even 30 seconds before he gave the penalty for Rangers as well, which I thought was mental that he doesn't give one, And then gives the other, like, probably neither of fouls, but where's the consistency in it?
And you know how people, when penalties get given and they're like, or penalties don't get given, and people are always like, oh, anywhere else on the pitch, that's a foul. It's like, well, that's actually not true. It's actually only in the Hibs box is it a foul.
Yeah. And, you know, this is probably the I think all our frustrations are built up now over the last month or so.
Yeah.
Edinburgh Derby, Aberdeen away. I know we were shit against St Mirren, but the penalty St Mirren get, the penalty we don't get against St Mirren, which absolutely was irrelevant because it was 3-0 at the time, but it's pathetic.
The Celtic ones as
and
well.
Of course, yeah. And even if you want, I know I'm saying it's over the last month, look at the penalty St Mirren got against us right after the League Cup semi-final. About, couldn't they be further away for the ball, but still being in the box? And the penalty got given. It's honestly, I don't want to believe that Hibs are refereed different. Because I just frankly don't think Hibs are important enough to be refereed any different.
Yeah.
But fuck me. Like, come on to
me. I know.
Oh,
just to get some of our lovely listeners' feedback as well. Bob Stewart sent in, the worst display of refereeing this season by far. So many poor decisions. The worst being the straight red. McLean couldn't wait to get the red card out. Did VAR even look at it? What's the point of VAR if they cannot get a decision like that correct? So, Bob, you've teed us off perfectly. So, what I will say is if you slow that down and you watch it in slow motion and you see someone Kung Fu kicking, it looks terrible. And see, if you freeze it and you've got that screenshot that all the Rangers fans are putting everywhere, it looks terrible. But football, believe it or not, is not played in slow motion and it's not fucking played in screenshots. If you look at that full speed, it's not a foul. He doesn't touch him. He's nowhere near him. It's never a foul in a million fucking years. Stop sending people, stop letting VAR look at it from a million angles and look at it in fucking slow motion. Football is not played in slow motion. It is not a foul. Never mind a fucking red. But the thing is, as soon as he makes a decision as soon as he makes a decision on the pitch, VAR can't be like, oh, well, it's because it's not a clear and obvious error. Because you can then say, oh, well, it looks like he's endangering him. Yeah, because you've then slowed it down and taken screenshots of it where it looks like he's endangered. But he's not at all. He's in full control of his body and he goes nowhere near making contact with the player. It's so stupid.
Do you know, Harry, I do think you're onto something, and it's the process that, and I don't understand why the referee can't just blow his whistle and actually just say, like, I know this isn't in world football, it's not a thing, but why can he not just blow his whistle and say, I think that something's happened there? Because it probably is a foul at Rangers, you know, like if he blows his whistle and says it's a foul, but why can he not communicate to the VAR straight away and say, I would just like a second look at that? Before he fucking brandishes a red card, before he brandishes a yellow card, say, I want to look at that. He gets it shown in real time for a couple of angles. Easy days, then he can decide yellow card, red card.
I'll get you, Chris.
I don't know if that's right, because then he might do it for everything. But
yeah, I think that's the problem.
One comparison to that, you know, the Ryan Porteous one where he got sent off. It was in the like east to away stand top corner of the pitch.
Oh, I am for winning adamant, the ball too hard.
Yeah, I am adamant that that was a red card, because when you look at Porteous, the way he approaches it, he goes in to try and make contact and like hit the player. So for me, I fully understand why that's given us a red. But when you watch the tackle back from Mariah Welsh, he's fully going for the ball. He's not trying to hurt the player. So this whole endangering an opponent, I don't think exists in that, because I think that he was in control. And I don't think if the guy was obviously at where he'd landed, it could have been, but it wasn't. It simply wasn't that situation. So like comparing them that are relatively similar, I just don't think this was a red card. And it really annoyed me.
Chris. I think... So much of refereeing, particularly refereeing in Scotland, is done on like optics.
Yeah.
It's not really done in sort of like the letter of the law. So it looks bad and he got sent off. I think that's the long and short of it. And it's, you know, particularly in games against Celtic and Rangers, it's almost not worth the referee's time to not send him off, because if he stays on the park, Mariah Wells scores an equaliser, goes to extra time, Hibs win or whatever, the referee's just getting slaughtered for that. So even though it's like, you could argue it's technically not, you know, it's technically not endangering because he's not close enough, he doesn't actually make any contact, it's optically, it's pretty bad, and as soon as he went in, I was at the ground just being like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's bad. He shouldn't have done that. And I still maintain he shouldn't have gone in like that. But
that's the
you know,
thing
and that, like, but like you say, that's what VR is supposed to be there for, and be like, right, it looked bad in real time, but when you actually look at it again, he hasn't made contact with him. Lundstrom's gone down holding his knee, like the whole thing's just completely blown out of proportion. So I don't know. I still don't think he should have gone in like that, though, is the bottom line.
That's the thing, though, Chris. Like, so people will say that Hibs lost composure in that 2 minutes, but the referee lost composure as well. Mm, you know, he should be neutral to everything that's going on around him, but he has reacted rashly. See if he was to have, this is going to sound so stupid, walked over and thought it was a red card, and say he's looked at the screen and he's watched that game. But Harry, it's the fastest anyone on the pitch moved all fucking night. Like, honestly, like, it was like, he's gone. You know, like,
you need to take a breath.
It was absolutely crazy, Craig, honestly. Like, it was, he was gagging to get the card out of his back pocket. Honestly, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. But look, it's overshadowed again what was a good performance from Hibs, as it was, Harry, against Celtic when we played them a couple of weeks ago or last month, probably longer now. But Hibs were good last night. I thought we were the better team up to the penalty. Probably Rangers were the better side between the penalty and half time. Then we were the better team in the second half. But hey, one of them.
Craig, have you got any comments on the red card, or did we cover it off?
Pretty much covered it all. I just thought the referee, typically in Scottish football, they just take a breath, give yourself a second to let it replay in your head before you bring the card out. And ultimately, that's the decision actually made. I think he could just give himself a second, maybe ask the assistant who was right in front of it. I agree with Chris, like, it was stupid. Optically, he's got to know that doesn't look good. However, I maintain it. I was saying to my brother, like, he doesn't actually make contact with him. His hip hits him, but I don't think that's a red card. But silly going like that.
He's been sent off because he might have hurt him.
Yeah, I'm sick of that.
You know, that's what,
like, oh, maybe could have hurt him, so we'll send him off. Like, it's the 22 players going in the park with studs, metal studs on their feet. Like, they're at risk as soon as they walk on the park.
Yeah, and it's he might have hurt him. Yeah, but you're here. You know that. Yeah. He didn't hurt him. So what do you mean he might have?
Harry, move us on.
So, boys, one last, has anybody got another refereeing thing they want to get off their chest? Are we happy to move on from the ref for now? If you want to bring them back later, we can do. But
move on. I've got plenty to say. But
so we'll get our listener to kind of talk about some performances. So coming to Aki first, he said, I thought we were really good, and Triantis looks like a proper number six, pressed really well, and until decisions in both halves, we were on top. So talk to me about Triantis. It's fair to say in his first couple of games as a centre back, we probably weren't too impressed. But it seems like he's been, since moving to midfield, he's kind of come into a game. Craig, what did you make of Triantis yesterday?
I was really impressed. I thought he was really good. Really enjoyed his performance, actually. Me and Mike were both saying he looked really good, quite calm as well, especially for a young guy in a big game like that, sort of frantic atmosphere like it was. It was quite a frantic game at stages, to be fair. No, I thought he looked good and sort of in the wee hole, and I enjoyed it better than was centre half. Yeah, he had a poor start, but I think he was actually quite unlucky. Obviously, he gives away two penalties in his first couple of games, but I think they were quite unfortunate. But no, decent wee player, I've got to say.
Ewan, just before I get your comment there, obviously team sheet comes out and it looks like we've got about 40 centre-backs on the pitch. Did you expect Triantis to be in midfield? Did you think it was going to be a relatively similar system to before, or what were your initial thoughts?
I suppose, I don't know if it was people that were knocking about the Albion or whatever, but we sort of got wind of what a few of the positions on the park were going to be, so you could sort of piece it together from that. And I don't think we've seen anything now to suggest that Triantis, unless Fish or Rocky aren't in the team, is going to be anything other than midfield. So I think, from the 11, there was probably a couple of formations that you maybe could have put together that made sense. But I wouldn't say it was a surprise, but maybe that was just because we'd got a bit of a heads up before it came out, about 5 o'clock. But about 3 o'clock or something, I got the message. But I thought it was fine. Played well, actually. No, better than fine. Picked up a silly booking. 6 minutes in. I mean, you never, you know, it feels silly at the time, but if Rangers went ahead and scored, then you'd want him to take him out. But, and that was a worry. But he managed his own performance really well. Good use of the ball, pretty tidy on it as well. You know, can turn few occasions sort of turn out of difficult situations in the middle of the park. Impressed, and you know, it's a good, that's a good thing because Mariah Welsh is obviously going to be suspended during the week because it was a straight edge. He'll miss one game and then the first game next season, I believe, in the cup. So I feel fairly relaxed with him going in beside Newell and then, you know, maybe seeing someone else coming up top and Emmy dropping back in, which is nice. But it is obviously hilarious that we signed two centre-halves in January. One of them's no longer at the club and one of them turns out he's better in midfield.
I was actually really, really quite impressed. Because see, when you play a centre-half, which he was kind of sold to us as, when you play a centre-half in midfield, they can do a job. You're sometimes just like reminded throughout the game he's a centre half playing in midfield, but that didn't happen. Like the way he kind of like you say, turned out of trouble really well. He sometimes he like let the ball run through him and let the momentum of the ball take him out of trouble. That was like really quite good for somebody who is allegedly not a midfielder.
Yeah, it's Harry. I'm gonna get us so many slagging points here. Another upgrade on Jimmy Jago in the position.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, no, it's good when you've got actual footballers playing. Sorry, but moving on to other comments. Another player that me and you and we gave our opinions last week, but it'd be good to get your Chris and Craig's opinion. Where was the question? I've lost it a second. Dan Taylor said, just how beneficial has a mid-season break been for Rocky? I'm one of his biggest critics, but he's been absolutely immense since returning from AFCON. He also mentioned that Giannis was good, but talk about Rocky to me, Craig. Rocky Bashiri has been a man mountain in the defence of recent like weeks.
It's been really good, really good. When you sign a player accidentally, it kind of turns out you think he's going to be rubbish, but maybe the break's done him good, I don't know, but he's come back in and he's looked really assured. I was always quite worried. I'm never too worried when stuff is in front of Rocky. It's actually when the ball gets put over his head quite a lot, he looks kind of a wee bit lost on the turn. And quite often when he's turning, he kind of gets himself lost and then the player gets the jump on him a wee bit.
Or hey, the runner, do you think, I should say. Jen, that might be the fact that it is still not naturally that side of the park that he wants to play. You know, being predominantly right-sided, he's maybe naturally wanting to turn one way versus the other way, you know, playing on the other side.
Yeah, it's maybe just taking a bit of time and coaching, and that's kind of coming to him now. Also, maybe improving positioning and the less balls are going over his head as well might be something that's helping him. But no, he's been really solid recently, and at the moment, you'd say there's no way he's coming at the team, which, to be fair, I wouldn't have said that. Not too long ago, I would have said get him out of the team, but he's been really impressive.
One interesting thing Craig picked up on there, do you think, Chris, that Rocky's finally got his 1,000 hours of training that Lee Johnson said that he needed to make it?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. I think he needed a break. He's had a bit of a strange Hibs career, hasn't he? And I kind of feel for the guy. He's sort of like been made out to almost be this kind of joke figure at times, signed by accident and blah blah blah. He's not been sort of particularly supported by the fans, I would say, certainly not unanimously. You know, and then he had the kind of mistake against Hearts, which led to in the derby, which led to the defeat, and then he's away in the AFCON. We're trying to replace him like while he's away. Then he comes back and I think maybe the break and just being away from Hibs for a while was probably what he needed, to be honest. Maybe get his head together. And I think the Congo, is that who he represents? Yeah, yeah. I think they've got like quite a good squad, don't they? Like quite a lot of guys
played. Yeah, they get to the semis.
Yeah, they've got quite a lot of guys played at like quite a high level. So I don't know if maybe just being away for Hibs and playing with some good players, like as a wee change of scenery, has sort of been like, right, I'm refocused.
Absence makes the heart grow
fonder. Well, yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. But I know, thought he was really good. It seems to me like he's improved how he reads the game as well. He could still do with working on his aerial ability a wee bit, but I think he's improved how he reads the game to almost avoid having to go and win so many headers or try to go and win so many headers. He kind of steps off and is quite good at kind of turning away from trouble as well. So, aye, power to him.
It's weird because when it comes to being in the box, I think he's pretty strong in the air. But when he has to position himself when the ball's coming towards him, that's where if he gets that under wraps, then he's actually going to be so solid. But one listener of ours, fantastic guy, Rebel Hybe, said, thought we played really well, all things considered, especially Rocky and Cadden. Monty was brave with his changes and can't be criticised for much, in my opinion, even keeping Abita on. Game aside, great atmosphere and mood among the fans. Well worth the trip. GGTTH. So a couple bits to break down there. Chris Cadden got himself a full 90 minutes in the tank. You unhappy to see him back?
Yeah, it's another option. He was fine. You know, I don't really think he done anything great or awful. You know, I don't recall Rangers having any incredible opportunities coming from, you know, that side of the pitch. But I don't necessarily think we've seen the best of Chris Cadden as an attacking outlet either. But maybe you probably maybe wouldn't expect that against Rangers. You know, fine. Definitely good to have him back. Another option. Fine. 90 minutes. Great. Squad's getting healthier.
Yeah, fair. And then in terms of Monty being brave, Chris, you know, if you're on a Montgomery related question, I'm coming straight to you. Were you happy with the way Montgomery one picked the team and two, like the changes he made throughout the game?
I certainly wouldn't be saying he got it wrong. I'm not a huge fan of Mercondes through the middle up front. I feel like he's been much better for us when he gets the ball and there's players ahead of him. And there was a few times against Rangers where he was getting the ball almost kind of in his usual position, but there wasn't much ahead of him. So he was carrying the ball for longer. Didn't really have like a lot of options for passes, which I think kind of negates his impact a little bit. So I'm wondering if maybe, I know you're probably not going to get 90 minutes from Lafondra, and I don't know if the other guy from Sunderland, the Spanish guy, is capable of leading the line against Rangers yet, but I think maybe it would have been good to see maybe Lafondra for an hour lead the line and have Emmy sort of back in that number 10 spot and then, you know, see where we are after an hour and see if you need to change it. That's if I'm being critical, because Marcondes is still quite good and we still did play quite well. So you have to kind of give him credit for that, definitely. But that's the only thing that I probably would have said we could have maybe done differently.
I totally agree with Chris there, Harry, as well. I think just before the red cards, I think our sort of dominance was starting to come to an end in the second half. I think Rangers were getting back into it more, and I felt like maybe we could have done with getting Lafondra up top to, you know, keep being able to push them, because as much as he's maybe not got 90 minutes in him, I think he's got half an hour of proper buzzing about when he comes on the park, and it would have allowed Emiliano to ultimately be more effective, because Chris is right, like, he's getting the ball as the furthest player forward. He's not blessed with blistering pace, you know, he's not got an option to pass to, and he's not really going to run away from the defenders. So that was, but you don't know, obviously, Venti's injury and stuff like that, and Lafondra himself is obviously in the twilight of his career coming back from an injury as well, so you don't really know the status of the sort of minutes that they'd be able to do. But I would have liked to see Lafondra start at the weekend, as we said last week, I think, didn't we?
Yeah, indeed. And another point that was made there, Craig, obviously where we're sat, we're pretty close to the Block 7 boys, but another cup game and they were behind the goals. Is that what you prefer them? Do you think it'll be a good move next season? Was the atmosphere okay the other night?
The atmosphere was, it was as it would be at a normal Rangers game, to be fair. I don't think these are the types of games that really that's going to come into play. Or I don't feel like it should. I feel like the atmosphere should be good anyway. but I've got to say, I am an advocate of them going across there, because I think it will work. But it was quite quiet. Like, you can't really hear too much from that distance.
They needed to hear the microphone. The wee with the siren.
No, didn't get Harry started on the megaphone.
Gets me angry. Gets me angry.
But there needed to be more of them. You know, like they were. It wasn't even like they had a full section really last night, Harry. It wasn't obviously a very well attended game at all from Hibs' point of view. But I think in the long run, if Hibs play well, that area will get packed out, and it'll be an excellent place for them to be. It will ultimately depend on the team's performance, as does all of sort of atmosphere related things.
And just a few final bits to get through from our listeners. Jeff Ashton sent in, he sent a few bits, but we've covered most of it. But he did say, just going to highlight how good in general the defence / Marshall were. Craig, something we've been criticised for pretty much the whole season is how terrible our defence is. But in fairness, the last couple of weeks, we've actually looked a bit stronger in that department, and the Rocky and Fish looked pretty good against Rangers, all things considered.
The main thing that it's noticeable that's changed is obviously the formation. The players in front of them more than, obviously, it's been a back four the whole time. But we look much more solid, much more assured. So I don't know if that, maybe just that wee bit of extra protection from the midfield in front of them. And not having the two wingers, which, let's face it, a lot of the time weren't coming back to help out the fullbacks so much. But maybe just having those three midfielders in front of them when we're out of possession has maybe helped them. But no, we're looking more solid, I would say. We're still losing silly goals at times, but overall it is better.
Chris, you have any thoughts on the defensive
late? No, there has been a notable improvement, obviously. I think maybe a bit of a confidence issue as well. I feel like Will Fish is a wee bit kind of indicative of that. I think when we were really quite poor at the back, he was quite poor. He was getting brushed off the ball quite a lot. But now he seems like a lot more kind of reading the game a bit better, turning, you know, coming away with the ball and actually finding a Hibs player with it and stuff. Just a bit more confidence to actually play, which is great, really. Yeah. If we're being honest, it still needs improved for next season.
It was something Tom English actually brought up on his interview with Longbangers. Was it? Yeah, just after the derby, and he was talking about how we'd sort of played Hearts, who were one of the informed teams in the league, in Celtic, and hadn't conceded a goal from open play. So, and obviously they weren't back to back, but looking at that as sort of a sign of improvement, and you could look at it again last night. So you've played Celtic, Rangers, and Hearts in fairly quick succession, and you've actually only conceded one goal from open play. Like, I know penalties do count, but as Chris says, it's an incredibly good opportunity to score. And the formation must help, Harry, you know, because you are almost sort of going, one of the two midfielders there is going to be sitting, even when you've got the ball. So you're sort of operating as you five go forward, you five make sure you're set for any counter-attacks when you've got that extra man in there. So I felt like when we were just that flat four in the middle, the two in midfield didn't really know whether they should or shouldn't go. But with Marcondes just in front of them, even if both of them stay, you've still got Marcondes, Juan, Boyle, whoever it is. You know what I mean? It just, the structure to the team looks a lot more set, and I don't feel like we're getting caught out on counter attacks as much as what we were, which is a massive. It's pretty much where every game of football's won and lost, really. That sort of transition when you first lose the ball and how good you can be on counter attacks and stuff like that. And yeah, it's just been a marked improvement, but Chris is probably right. It still needs to get better, because you've still shipped two last night, two at Aberdeen. You know, it's frustrating. It is frustrating.
Well, our last listener cue for this week, guys, is a conspiracy theory. We love to see it. Jim sent in, the Skin SFA are determined to have their Old Firm final this year. Get ready for a rigged semi-final draw tonight after the Hearts tie. He didn't add it, but I'm going to add, it was an invisible ink. Hearts are getting pumped 6-0 off Morton. And so after Hearts get pumped 6-0 off Morton, there's going to be a rigged tie to force an Old Firm derby. So if that happens, guys, are we going to spearhead the inquisition of getting the Hibs Rangers game replayed because it was fixed?
The real conspiracy is who Hearts keep getting the easiest draw possible. That's the real conspiracy.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
It's one of them I was thinking about the other day. I was like, most teams, if they aren't Celtic or Rangers, do get a fairly easy draw path to the final. I think we had a pretty decent one when we won it in 2016, but we were just a little diddy championship side when we done that. So, you know, like we were getting tough games against teams in our league, and you know, then we had to play a struggling Premiership side at the time. So we were I talked myself out of it and how we were total underdogs that whole campaign.
Well, I would say game for game, we probably had the toughest Scottish Cup run in history, to be honest. I think we were incredible to manage to win that one. But yeah, boys, just before we move on to Ross County, is there any performances we didn't touch on that were particularly positive? Any positives we didn't touch on from the game there? Or are we happy that we covered off pretty much everybody?
I think so, Harry. I know that there's no day jumping out. Hibs were good. You know, I thought Hibs were good last night. A couple, maybe a downside, my leader was quite quiet. And you didn't get the best out of Marco and Desmond playing as the actual sort of number nine. And on another night, you maybe would have liked to have scored. Oh, sorry, of course. It's a game of football. You're supposed to score. But, you know, yes, we were dominant in phases of the game, and you need to take the chances when they come, and we probably didn't actually create enough for the amount of dominance we did have. But on another night, my leader tackles Jack Butland that goes in the goal, Rangers are shitting themselves, and we're 1-0 up inside 15 minutes. You know, like it's shite that we didn't go through, but if you're gonna lose a cup tie, that's probably the way to do it. Make everyone angry at the ref and still perform all right.
My leader did really well with that when he nearly slide tackled the ball in the net. He like wrapped his foot right round almost perfectly, almost pulled it off, but just not to be.
Craig, were you going to say something there or no?
I'd just like to see us, it's kind of negative, I suppose. It's not really highlighting anything positive. I'd just like to see us pulling the trigger a bit more. There's a couple of times where my leader come off the left, and there was one I can't remember exactly where it was. It was second half up famous five end. Marcondes had the ball. I want to say he was coming off the sort of left hand side, and he had the chance to shoot, and he just tried to drop the shoulder again and beat another man. And sometimes I just think we have a habit at the moment of just not letting it go. Just let's pull the trigger a wee bit more often.
That'd especially when you had the, I think we were down to 9 men when he had that chance as well. It was still 1-0. Like, just get as many shots on goal as you can. Try your luck.
Not allowed to shoot from outside the box these days, are you?
No.
Oh, do you get fined a week's wages if you shoot far outside the box?
Well, I think the one comment that all of us made there that I think is most prevalent, and we'll end the game with that. I hope that in future Hibs can score goals in games. You and I think that was a really good point. Well,
what was it Michael Owen says? They hardly ever win when they don't score.
That's it. But a team that we recently did score against and did beat, even albeit not our best performance, Ross County, who we are playing in a couple of days' time on Wednesday. Ewan, you pretty much named half the team, but in terms of the actual selection dilemma, I think that when you mentioned it earlier, I think right back, if he's fit, are we all rocking with Miller?
I think so, especially with Cadden coming back for that injury. Yeah. It'd probably be quite a big ass task. I'm going to do 180 minutes in quick succession.
And Chris, coming to you on this, against Ross County last time, I think it's fair to say that quite a lot of the players looked relatively sluggish, especially the first 60 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see a few changes coming into this game?
Yeah, I think if we could start someone else up front. I don't know what the situation is with Venti just now, whether it's like that was
supposed
just...
I've heard it's like 2 to 4 weeks out. I can't remember what it was, but that's what I've heard.
I think that just came from someone tweeting that, saying that he said it to them outside the east stand, outside the main stand last night. So like, not to call the person out, but it could be total shit.
So well, working on the basis that he isn't going to be playing, obviously. I think we should maybe try and get someone else up front and bring Emmy back because, for the reasons that we've discussed. But I think Miller will come in, and obviously Yuan will probably come in for Boyle as well. Did you say Mariah Welsh is suspended?
I believe so. I believe he'll be, because he got a straight red card for dangerous, for the serious foul player. So, and I think he gets a one game ban in the league and then misses the first round of the cup next year. Will be available and will just miss the first round next year.
Right. Okay. So, if Triantis can go again, probably he'll sit in the middle with Newell and then have Marcondes slightly ahead, maybe have Lafondra up front or Mayenda. I don't know. But I would say that the Emmy up front experiment, I don't know if it worked against Rangers. So I think he might try something different. And yeah, like I said, Ewan will come in for Boyle. That's something that we didn't actually touch on in that game was the unfortunate Boyle incident. I mean, I don't know if there's anything to really touch on.
I think the wrong decision was giving it a bounce ball. I think it was a foul. I don't think there was any malicious intent in it. I think that it was just an unfortunate bump in, but it was slightly late, so you probably have to give the free kick in a good position.
He was stable last night, I think. By the time
he tweeted out today saying that thanks to everybody, like thanks to the Rangers and Hibs, like medical team and the fact that he was fine. Hopefully he's back not too long. Again, I did see a 2 to 4 weeks expected on his head. So fingers crossed he's okay. But yeah, good point. I didn't bring that up. That was silly of me. Bad hosting, Harry. But Craig, let's move on. Was there anybody we didn't mention that you think should potentially... Does Triantis keep his place, given that Mariah Welsh might be suspended?
Probably, yeah. The only thing I would say, if Mariah Welsh is out, I would maybe bring Levitt in. But I also agree with Chris in terms of bringing, if you're going with that midfield three and then the front three, you maybe bring Marcondes back into the midfield and kind of go with Trent sitting a bit deeper, Newell kind of in as a normal midfielder, and then Marcondes kind of in behind a wee bit. I like Alf when he plays. I would play him, I think, especially when you've got two really talented and fast wingers around him, leading you on. Like, I feel like him kind of taking the ball in or flicking it on around the corner, especially with them. He's got a great football brain on him. He's bound to be able to find those two guys making runs. So I wouldn't be against seeing him start at all. I mean, obviously that depends on his fitness, but
he's got to play eventually to build it. I agree with both the guys have said. I'd definitely start Lafondra, but I don't think he will. And this, what I'm about to say, I certainly wouldn't be doing. But I think we'll see my leader down the middle with Tavares on one wing and Eli Yuan on the other. That's what I believe we'll see with Marcondes behind him. And I agree with the Triantis shout. I would keep him in the middle of the park if he can. I would be surprised if that's not what we see. I just don't see him starting Lafondra. Otherwise, I actually think he would have just started him.
That's true. As well, a bit annoying. I don't know where Amos has gone. I don't know if he just is injured, because he would be the perfect player to come in for Mariah Welsh, probably. But
apparently done his hamstring against Dundee, stretching for something.
He got injured. Yeah. No way.
Never knew that.
Whoa. Never knew that.
When Ewan said that front three there, if I had any form of editing skills, I would have edited in the clip of "I want to report a crime, an international war crime," because that sounded horrible.
He obviously started my leader through the middle, Aberdeen, which is what I'm thinking. Yeah. We might see that is what I thought.
We might. I kind of agree that could happen.
I like him through the middle. Yeah, he's good. He's strong.
He's like a totally, I don't know, I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. I think only since I saw him in the flesh did I realize like how big a guy he is. I thought he was like a winger or something, like a sort of diminutive kind of character. But he's actually like big. So he could definitely play, and he has played through the middle. So I agree that could be something that we see. Don't know about Tavares on the left, but what
it's not what I'd like to see.
But what option have you got?
I think I got slack. It'll be interesting, Chris and Craig. I don't think either of you were on. I think it was myself, Harry, and Liam. And we were talking about my leader. And I'd said I felt like he was best coming off the left-hand side. I think it maybe was even after his debut, saying that I didn't think he was a striker because obviously he struggled against Rangers that night. And I sort of said it was similar to like a Joel Newbley situation at Livingston, where you just see the size of him and think, must be best down the middle.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, they are just simply better on the wing. They just still happen to be 6'2" or whatever. Yeah. They don't, just because they're tall doesn't mean they're going to win everything in there. But I think I've talked myself into that's what we're going to see on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Wednesday night, then you can get us rolling. You've named your team. Give us a score.
It's about time that we put two league wins back to back. Liam's been slagging me on here for ages, saying that I said it would be tricky playing them back to back, and I still believe that. But 2-0, comfortable again. 2-0.
A repeat 2-0. Chris, what were we thinking?
See, I was going to say 2-0.
Are we? I have to mix it up now.
I'm going to say, we've been speaking about how defence is a wee bit better. I'm going to say we grind it out and we just win 1-0.
Who's scoring the goal? If we're only scoring one, we need a hero.
Triantis.
Give me that. Yes.
By the way, should have scored last night. That was
All right, Craig, we've got big Triantis scoring goals. What are you saying?
Chris has just stole mine, to be honest.
I'm
making
sorry.
The trip up and I'm fully expecting a horrible, shitty, grind of a win, to be honest. So, nah, sorry to be boring, but I'm going 1-0 as well.
Who's getting your goal, Craig?
Emily Duh.
Oh, bit of fun. All right, well, I'll be nice and positive. It's going to be an explosive game between Hibs and Ross County. County are going to go 2-0 up in 5 minutes, and Hibs are going to come back and win 4-2 to the Cabbage. There we go. And Dylan Vent is not actually injured. He's going to score all four. So that's going to be really good fun. But speaking of really good fun, I love it, Ewan, when I find a game that I like to stick on you guys, whether you guys want to play or not. So we played it last week, and I'm going to go over the rules in case you didn't hear it last week. So we're playing a game called Catch You Out. And essentially, I'm going to give you five categories, and you have to pick a Hibs-related player for that category. If you pick the same player as me, you are out. So the objective is to get through my five categories
without saying the same thing.
Without saying the same player. And if you do that, you win. And the great news is, if you're listening at home, you can play as well. So what I'll do is I've got these written down. I can't show you guys because then it would spoil the game, but I've got these written down. So I'll say the topic, count about three in my head, and then I'll come to you in a random order. And then if you all just be honest and stick with don't copy someone else, just stick with what you've got. Do we all understand the game?
We're all playing at once, yeah, but you're
yes,
gonna
yes, yes. And I'll come to each year's for each round. We'll make it quick fire though, don't worry. All right, all understand? Give me a nod. Magic. Oh, I love it when people obey me. This is great. Okay, so Catch You Out. Question one. Red cards were a prominent theme last night. Name a Hibs player that has been sent off. Can be from 1902, can be from yesterday. I've picked a random Hibs player who's been sent off. 3-2-1. Ewan, who's your player?
Ivan Sproul.
Craig, who's your player?
Marvin Bartley.
Chris, who's your player?
Grant Brebner.
Oh, he's all made it through. I went for Paddy Craig. Came off the bench and got sent off in about 15
I
seconds.
Anybody was going to guess him, but fair play.
Yeah, I wanted to go.
Are you not?
Wanted,
are you? Are
sure
you
he's
supposed
a through? Wanted to make sure he's a through the first one. You know,
imagine you got knocked out of the first round because you said Paddy Craig. You'd be absolutely fuming.
Okay. So next up, not really relevant, but well, actually, Venti's scoring four, so it's technically relevant. Name me a Hibs player who scored a hat trick. A Hibs player who has scored a hat trick. Okay, three goals in one game.
This is where you have to actually hope that who we pick has.
So I was kind of racking the vein, like, how's anybody?
Just to confirm, if you make it up and you're wrong, you are eliminated. Just because you nearly got himself conked out yesterday, but he just about scraped it with a wiki search. Okay, so Craig, coming to you first, player who scored a hat trick.
The snake Camberry.
Chris,
I'm sure he scored a hat trick.
no, he did. I remember it.
I'm going to say, are you going to pick the obvious one or are you not going to pick the obvious one? I'm going to say that you are going to pick the obvious one. So I'm going to say Kevin Nisbet.
Oh, I think you're in trouble here.
Who did you go for?
I think I could be in trouble if Chris isn't because of Wednesday night's opponents. And I'm going for Simon Murray in the League Cup group stages.
Well, Chris, you just survived. You just actually originally had Kevin Nisbet, but I changed it to Christian Deutsch. So you guys have made it through. Just to confirm, you guys, if you've had the same answer as each other, you don't have to change your answer just to confirm. It's only me that you're playing against, just to confirm.
The Chris, I thought you were done for there because he tweeted about that game last week during the week.
Nah. I thought he was going. I didn't know if he was going to do the Sproul or not. So I was like,
that's who I was going to go for.
Or like I was going to say Patalainen, but I don't know. Anyway, I got away with it. Just I'll have to be a bit more careful next time.
All right, well, guys, if you're playing at home, let us know if you're still in at this point. We're going on to question three, and that is a player who has been capped whilst at Hibs. Doesn't have to be Scotland, just any team. Any Hibs player who has got an international cap whilst playing for Hibernian Football Club.
Is it senior cap? Or
Yeah. It has to be a full international cap.
Right.
If it's the under-12s for who I don't give a shit, it has to be a full international cap. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Chris, who's your player?
Darren Jackson.
Oh, my God. Chris is getting some curveballs in here. I like it.
I'm older than you.
Liam's boyhood hero, that's Liam's
hey. Well, is it? One of mine as well, definitely.
Paul McGinn. That was my shout.
That's a great shout.
Craig.
That means he's picked him, by the way. He would have been that happy.
I'm going to go Kevin Nisbet.
Oh my God, you guys are running circles around me. Ewan, I went for Paul's brother, John. I know someone at home's went John. Someone's definitely. Some of the times I have to go for an obvious
That's
player,
too
sometimes
easy.
I reel it in. Mm-hmm. All right, so next one. I want you to just go with your instinct here, guys. Just go with your instinct. If I say Hibs, super sub.
Right.
Hibs, super sub. Craig, who have you went for?
Oh, fuck. Oh, I've not got anything. Hip super sub. LA Martin Boyle.
Interesting. Ewan?
If you want me to be totally honest, the first player I thought of was Ivan Sproul.
And Chris?
Sorry, can I just clarify what the question is?
A super sub.
He's buying time.
So I don't know, but just somebody who has been a sub.
Just someone that you think is super.
Someone
sub.
That you would say is a super. Like you could, if you were to pick the player, you could be like, oh, he was a super sub.
Liam Henderson.
That's a class answer.
Hey, well, my original answer
thanks,
was going
to
be.
Thanks. I had to buy myself 2 minutes to think it.
My original answer was going to be Jonathan Spector due to his triumph at Tynecastle. However, Ewan. 2 weeks in a row, get him out of here. Get him out. Ewan's knocked out. You can still play question five, my friend, but you're out. All right, so the last one, guys. It was mentioned so many times. So the one time I'm going to exempt a player, just because we chatted about him that much, Triantis is excluded from the next question. But I want you to name me a defensive midfielder. So a Hibs defensive midfielder. Craig's laughing because he thinks he knows what I've gone to get him through the trapdoor. However, Ewan, you've been knocked out. Let's see if you would have survived. Number five.
I'm going to stick with my logic that I applied last week. Not a hope in hell if you wrote Dylan McGeoch's name on your computer screen.
I don't know if I consider him defensive midfielder, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry, Ewan, that is a controversial shirt.
He played as the deepest line midfielder single week, man.
I think deep line
playmaker.
Did Marvin Bartley not play?
Martin Bartley played like 10 fucking times a season. Come on.
Right. I'm on your side. I'll allow it, personally.
Well, all we say on here is we like players that play football.
Yeah.
Well, Dylan McGeoch was a nice defence. He was a six for Hibs. Maybe he wasn't a defensive midfielder. Mm. It was a deeper...
The good thing is, this is open to interpretation anyway.
And a moose, so Chris. It's fine.
Chris, who have you went for, Chris?
Ah, fuck, I forgot to think of one. I think that you, I mean, I don't really know you, Harry, but I think I know who you have said, but I'll go Marvin Bartley. Because I don't think you've said him.
Instantly, the first player that came to my mind is one of my favourite defensive midfielders at Hibs. So I think that's the one that Harry said. So I will say that. But there's two options. I think Harry's either went Papa Gogic or he's went the one and only Mark Milligan. So Mark Milligan's my answer.
Right, Ewan, I can confirm that one of the two of them has been eliminated at the end. Who do you think, Ewan, has been knocked out? Is it Chris or Craig who fell at the final hurdle?
I think Craig's been too honest. I think he's known the first thought, like with me with Ivan Sprill, the first thought that came into his head he's went with, and you have just taken the low hanging fruit there to get your best pal, your boyhood best friend out of the game in the last round, that you've travelled the length and breadth of this country. He's driven you everywhere and you've fucking snaked him. That's what you've done, innit?
I'm gutted, Ewan, because you gave such a good speech, but you're wrong, Chris.
I was going to. I thought you were going to say Matty Jack. I thought you were going to say Matthias Jack, because I remember he was in Switzerland and we all met him in that. So I thought that's what you're going to say, but no. Nah.
So being honest, Craig was completely spot on. Craig just challenged me to a 50-50 by going Mark Milligan and then actually picking him. That is ballsy, to be fair, because I literally put that bait out for him. But I was thinking he's going to revert back from that and go Marvin Bartley. So that was actually a trapdoor for Craig. That Chris,
and I fell in it. And I fell
you walked into.
I'm caught in the fucking crossfire here.
I'm trying to play chess and then you walked in playing checkers. It's a thing. But yeah, guys, we definitely
keep
going.
We all honey potted to your answers, bud. That's what honey we all you.
We need to talk about Mark Milligan, the hero, the centre half, pass skipper, legend.
Mark Milligan is the him and Jorge Claros are the perfect examples of players that get better after they left.
Yeah. Underrated.
Who wins in a race, James Jeggo or Mark Milligan? That is the question.
Mark Milligan, because he's just 2 foot Jeggo.
Yeah, nobody said there had to be fair rules. But guys, we've covered off defensive midfielders, we've covered off terrible refereeing, and we have covered off our massive victory away to Ross County. Fingers crossed on Wednesday. But Chris, Craig, thanks so much for joining us once again. Ewan, thank you as always, and we will catch you guys next time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah.